Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways. Welcome back, Ben.
Hi there, good to be back.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've just seen news that the company's announced an update on its Marram Energy Storage Hub Mesh Infrastructure Project, a large-scale natural gas and green hydrogen storage facility off the UK's Lancashire coast. The upscale project is expected to generate high-yield returns with an estimated 20% rate of return over 20 years. The project aligns with the UK government's energy security and net zero targets, with FID expected in late 2025 and first energy supply in 2027. Energy Pathways is in discussions with a global wind power developer, an integrated oil and gas company, and a tier one engineering consultancy for the project's development. The company sees energy storage as a critical growth sector in the UK's energy transition and is positioning Mesh to play a significant role in decarbonising the energy supply. Just talk us through the significance of this news, please, Ben.
Yeah, look, this is showing great progress that we've had on our foundation project, the Marram Energy Storage Hub project, MESH. And we're making good headway now on the project. We're getting to the end of pre-FEED, and we'll be moving into the FEED phase of the project. And we've got some very exciting partners joining us with the project. You know, tier one global players essentially embracing the integrated energy strategy that we're deploying with this project.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen on the news that Great British Energy is sort of becoming a reality now, which brings with it cheap, clean and secure energy. And it's all about the renewable space. But just talk the listeners through how important and how the Mesh project fits in with this sort of drive for renewables.
Yeah, sure. Look, the key pillar of the UK energy transition is a massive expansion of the renewable wind generating capacity. It currently stands at 30 gigawatts and is going to increase threefold to 90 gigawatts by 2030. And if you consider that the existing wind capacity of 30 gigawatts when the wind is blowing is effectively sufficient or close to sufficient to meet electricity demand, and there's major barriers to entry for the expansion, be it demand levels, be it transmission grid constraints, and the pace, slow pace of electrification within the UK. The UK is going to be in a spot very quickly that there is a huge amount of capacity with no demand. So that really just says storage solutions are required and need to be put in place with pace. And to that end, we're building an energy storage solution to support that. Now, furthermore, to build out that picture properly, is that gas will remain the dominant fuel supply for the UK and will do for decades to come. And the supply chain for gas is getting also stretched in the same time frame. The UK will be importing 80% of its gas needs. And we've all seen the news about the decline in domestic production that is, is on its path and declining rapidly. So storage solutions are also needed for gas too. So we're designing our Mesh project to be both a hydrogen storage facility to harness the excess wind power that is going to be generated, as well as a gas storage facility to provide security of energy supply to the UK.
So how do you store the wind power then, Ben?
In the form of hydrogen, green hydrogen. That is, we've got very large geostorage reservoirs here, and it's converting essentially all that wind power, which is excess to supply, can't get into the market, and the UK taxpayers are going to pay for it in the form of curtailment payments. So be harnessed in the form of green hydrogen, which will then be stored in our geostorage reservoirs.
Okay, and if it seems a very high target to go for this 90 gigawatts of capacity, and you say that effectively would more than cover the whole of the UK supply for for electricity, but that's only when the wind blows, I think.
Yeah, so the current levels of wind generating capacity that the UK has, 30 gigawatts, that effectively equates to current demand levels for electricity. So when the wind is blowing and capacity is is working at its full extent, substantially meeting demand levels. So if the UK, as it plans to do, increases that wind capacity threefold, you can see that there's serious issues with harnessing that increased capacity. Now, if you do consider that the wind developers here, they get paid if the wind is taken or not. So that's not a concern for them. So the UK taxpayer essentially pays for any wind energy that is not taken.
How many do we have any sort of statistics, rough or not, about how many wind days of the year do we get enough electricity in the United Kingdom?
Well, effectively, wind power is operating at 30% of its capacity. So it's called capacity factor. So on average, it's roughly 30%. So it's delivering a third of the time, in effect. But this issue is already sort of with us in the UK, in that wind curtailments, which is the cost of the wind energy that is available but not being taken, that is already costing the UK taxpayer £1 billion a year. And it's forecast to increase rapidly from here up to £5 billion a year.
So if the government has the ability to store this, then they can use that green hydrogen to compensate when the wind isn't blowing, and that's the deal.
That's right. So essentially getting value for all of that lost, curtailed money that is being essentially invested. So converting it into green hydrogen gives that energy a form of storage, and it can be utilized and brought to market at times when the wind's not blowing.
From an electric point of view, do we see the amount of gigabytes required in the UK increasing because of EVs, electric vehicles, maybe AI is going to stream a lot of electricity out of the equation? Is that something that is forecast to happen?
Well, that's forecast to happen, but so far over the last 2 decades, UK electricity demand has actually decreased year on year. So that was my earlier comment, the pace of electrification in the UK is not happening, let's say, at the rate that was envisaged. But were it to do so, then demand for electricity will go up. But let's say so far that pace of electrification hasn't kicked in.
Yeah, I think 3 years ago we were all dreaming we'd be flying around in electric cars, not even driving. So it's and then the reality of the infrastructure, the problems that we're going to have with EV cars and batteries, et cetera, is now starting to become a reality for people, especially all those people who have very expensive EV cars that are now not worthless, but certainly probably 75% less than it should be. Well, not less than it should be, that they paid for them. So tell us what the next stages are in terms of the gas, because still the main play has to be that you're taking this Marin gas field and developing it and bringing the gas, selling it, as well as obviously the storage.
Yeah, so really what we've done here is the development of the Marram gas field has now been designed as an energy storage facility, whereby all of the capital investment that we put into the field is reusable for the purposes of storage operations. Now, first step in that process of operating, transitioning to a storage asset is to deplete the reservoir, so to make available storage capacity, which can then be marketed and sold to users of storage. So in terms of the revenue profile, there is production, the sale of the gas is a first step, and that generates value for our investors. And as that was storage depletion is a fairly rapid part of the project as it was originally. And then we transition to offering storage operations. And the feature here is that the design of the facility is such that the storage operations can continue on for many years, over 20 years, and generate revenue on that initial capital investment of sizable amounts. So we essentially now have an infrastructure type asset that generates high yields over 25 years, and it's an energy infrastructure asset in its nature as opposed to an oil and gas production asset.
It's worth pointing out as well that this MESH, this Marram storage hub, is effectively located, I think it's about like only 11 miles from the Lancashire coast, and it's actually very close to already, existing infrastructure. I think 7 to 8 gigawatts of offshore wind power, and obviously near to late life reusable gas pipeline. So just explain that this isn't just something that you've got to think about planning. It's very close to real life existing infrastructure.
Yeah, that's right. Look, Energy Pathways is set up as an energy transition company in the first place. This is the sort of opportunity that we saw emerging out of the energy landscape in the UK, and we targeted this particular area for essentially the reasons you've given. Marram sits in at the heart of a major energy generating centre for the UK. So yes, we are surrounded by, this is one of the largest UK wind generating centres, 7 to 8 gigawatts of generating capacity, right next to us. It's also got late life gas infrastructure that can be repurposed for the uses that we foresee, and there's also transmission lines. And due to its geographic proximity to markets, we're only 11 miles off the coast, a short distance away from Manchester, Liverpool, the industrial and population centres of the northwestern England. This is, let's say, an ideal place to have energy storage capacity to supply the UK market.
And you have had obviously engaged with a number of major tier one engineering and energy companies, as I alluded to at the top of the intro. Just talk us through that. Presumably, you're still, you've had letters of support for the storage license application, etc., as you released in RNSs. But presumably, there's constant negotiations ongoing with those companies over the coming months.
Yeah, that's right. In terms of our future journey, as we move into FEED at the start of next year and complete that and get to FID at the end of 25, those stakeholder partners will be increasingly heavily involved in terms of the delivery of engineering type works, so the FEED program, and be ready for execution of the development project. As well as the essentially off-takers of the energy services we'll be providing, so buyers of storage capacity, as well as buyers of gas supply and hydrogen production, and also providing we designed this development as a fully decarbonized development, so zero emission. And so that's why critical to be working closely with global wind farms of the area. And also, there's involvement here in the financing of the overall development as well.
So, Ben, when can we expect pre-feasibility study to be out?
We're looking to complete pre-FEED by the end of this calendar year.
Okay, so it should be lots more news before the year is out in terms of what we're expecting.
Yeah, so we're expecting further news flow with respect to there's going to be a lot of over the coming months, and as we move towards FID. Those will be around completion of the engineering works, so as like we've just discussed, and steps on that journey. Further releases around the stakeholder partnership group that we're bringing along, sub-agreements associated with financing and offtakes. All of those will be coming through over the next 12 months.
Very good.
Okay, on that note, we'll say Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.